This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." This is Sherry Medlock, America's messenger of truth. So America, men, women, boys, and girls, please gather around and open your truth book, your King James Bible, to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 4, where we left off last time. John, chapter 14, verse 4. You might like to entitle this chapter, "There is a place of quiet rest." You need a place of quiet rest, do you not?
Yes,
you need that. You know, Paul tells us in his writings, he says, labor to enter that rest. So right now, we're going to labor in God's word to help you enter the rest of God. Now, last time, Judas had just gone out to betray Jesus at the Last Supper. And the disciples, remaining 11 of them, were very sad because Jesus says, "I'm going to leave you." And so he said to them in verses 1 through 3 to comfort them, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, the first thing we need to do is Father's house. What is Father's house? In the Hebrew, it's Beth El. B-E-T-H in Hebrew is house, and El is God. But who is God? John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So, Beth El is the house of the Word, because remember, God is the Word. El is the Word. Everybody understand?
Yes.
Okay, so we have the house of the Word. Now, that's where he's talking about. The Word is God, and the Word is the house of God. But what about mansion? Does that mean pretty palatial palaces? No, the Greek word is meno, goes to mone in the prime, and it means a resting place, a safe place, a place, a fortress, where you can run into it and feel safe. It doesn't mean a place where you go and take a nap, or you're in a coma, or do soul sleep. Now remember that Paul said, labor to enter into this rest. Now, what he's saying is here, that the Word of God is the house of God. And he says, in the Word of God, there are many mansions. All right, many resting places. All right, the Psalm 91 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Dwelleth and abide, that would be Hebrew, but it's the same as the Greek in what we've just studied. It still means mone, resting place. So, how do you get to that secret place where you have this peace and that resting place? The house is the Word of God. Everybody understand it?
Yes.
Now, what about the many mansions in there? All right, let's just say you don't feel you have enough strength. Go to the mansion, go to that resting place in Father's house, the Word, in Isaiah 40. He says he will carry you like an eagle carries her young on the wings, and he will renew your strength as the eagles, and you will run and not weary, and you will walk and not faint. Let's say you miss a loved one. You know they were saved, but you miss them. and you're wondering when you're going to see them again, go to the mansion, go to the resting place in God's Word. In 1 Thessalonians 4, it says we cannot precede our loved ones. They have already resurrected, and they are coming, the saved ones, back with Jesus. Let's just say that you need a place from fear. And so you go into the mansion of the house of God, the Word of God, and you find that room where Jesus says, "Fear not, in the world you shall have tribulation, but I have overcome the world." See what we're saying there? Amen. Now, what about the secret place? You say, "Well, that's great. I believe that, and I'm holding my Bible, and I'm reading it, but the devil can still see me. I'm not hidden from him. I need a safe place where he can't find me and his minions and his ilk." Wait just a minute. Now, what do we do with the Word? You're absolutely right that the devil can see you holding a book called the Bible in your hands, and he can see you read it. But here's your next step. You have gone. You have found the house of God, the Word of God, and you want to find that secret place of rest where the devil can't find you. You have to do like Ezekiel and John the Revelator. You have to eat the little book. You see, you don't just look at it and put it on the shelf and go about your troubles. You eat it. And when you eat it, you swallow it, hook, line, and sinker. You believe it. And it goes and it circulates into your system. And you know what we eat kind of comes out through our skin. You know, you can kind of tell how healthy a person is. That Word of God will come out through your pores. Now, he says, "I run into his name and I am safe." The psalmist says that. What is his name? Revelation 19:13, his name is called the Word of God. Now, once you have digested it and it's come in you, it will come out through your pores and cover you. That's why he said to put on the gospel armor every day in Ephesians 6. And that's why he said that the Word of God is your shield. In other words, once it comes out and covers you, it's like a cylinder went down around you and the devil can't find you. Amen. Do you understand? Yes. You have that secret place. Right in the middle of turmoil, in all of the chaos, it's never not there for you. The only reason some of you don't find it, that you thought you were just supposed to read the Word and put it on the shelf and then go on and live your life without it. Everything must be by the Word. And so therefore you have the secret place. The secret place is the Word. And we're going to come back to this, but I hope that sets a little ground for you there. Does that cultivate the soul of your mind?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Verse 4.
Verse 4. "And whether I go, ye know, and the way, you know."
Now Jesus had been teaching these men for 3 years, and he was going to promote them from being disciples, students of God's Word, to apostles. They were going to build the church with his help as the Holy Spirit, and they were going to turn the world upside down. And he's giving them a pop test. You do understand what I'm about to say, that I'm about to go to the cross, don't you? Well, do they?
5. Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?"
Thomas needs to take Bible 101 again. "I don't know," he said. Okay, bless Jesus' heart. I mean, he wants them to get it.
6. Jesus said unto him.
Now, all of you who recognize why you are here on this planet, that is to get the Word of God to this world. Maybe it's one at a time. Memorize this verse.
"I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me."
Now, people are going to tell you they're very good, they don't drink, they don't chew, they don't go with those who do, and they give to the Red Cross, and they go to church. No, Jesus is the way. In other words, all these other religions, God bless your little hearts, Jesus is the only way there is, absolutely. But Jesus is telling them, the way you get back to the resting place in Father's heart. Now remember, we're going to talk about that word some more, that it comes from Father's heart. Because your Bible is a love letter that came from the heart of God. So now there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. Your Bible is your love letter. It came from the heart of God, and that's where you rest. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
So Jesus says the only way you can get is to walk on my blooded body, which I'm about to go to the cross. There's no other way. You got to go through the blood of the Savior back to the resting place.
7. If you have known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you have known him and have seen him.
Now Jesus would have taught them the Bible. They had the Torah, the first Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, and Isaiah and the prophets. They had everything up to our Malachi. And so he said, you should know by now, Genesis 1, that I said, let us make man in our image. Jesus says, I was including myself. I told you in your spirit bodies, let us make your flesh body look like you do now, send you out one time through your mother to choose Jesus or the devil. And I said, I will do the same thing. So see, he was God. He said, the Father and I are one, Emmanuel, God with us. They don't quite get it. Now let's stop and think about this. We're here to know more about God. Can you imagine God? He's the Father of lights. Look in the sky, all the stars, the planets. There's a supernatural cross that comes and parks itself here every afternoon in my place, late almost sundown. And it's crystal, and then streams of rose and sapphire and diamonds start. And the lights are the most gorgeous thing I have ever seen. And that is all God. God is lights, the Father of lights. The psalmist says he clothes himself like a garment with light. Every morning you look up at the sky, that is the clothing of Almighty God. But God says, I'm going to make me a body too. Lo, in the volume of the book it comes, I will make me a body. So he takes all of that light and condenses it and puts it into a body. Wow. Do you realize Jesus must be popping at the seams to let that light shine out? No wonder he said, I'm the light of the world. By the way, I have a real description of what Jesus looked like. It is in our government, Washington, D.C., and it was written by Pilate, and he is quite golden, blonde hair and blue-eyed, and can show roses in the cheek, unlike all of the darker haired people there. And so you see, he had to have sunlight coming out.
Verse 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth.
Philip, you need Bible 101 also.
And Jesus said unto them, have I been so long time with you?
You still don't get it.
And yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father.
The Father and I are one.
And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? And believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the word that dwelleth in me, he doeth these works.
Many times when we teach God's word, the anointing is so powerful. And once in a while, just once in a while, somebody says, I appreciated your teaching. And I'll say, the Father within, he doeth the work. Any man or woman, or boy or girl, who declares God's word, must let the Holy Spirit do the teaching. So then, and only then, are you really doing it right.
11, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake.
Okay, if you don't quite get this, just believe me for the works you've seen I've done. Now, you say, oh, walking on water, raising Lazarus from the dead, healing the leper. No, no, no. The greater work that Jesus did is the red letters, the teaching. He is the Word. Nothing is ever to be exalted above the Word. See, right now we're teaching the red letters of Jesus. The Word is the greater work. Now, because of the Word, if that Word is declared with the anointing, We have this in here. Healings will occur. That's why when I pray for people to be healed, I go with the word. And most people don't want to do that. I don't want to recite scripture. No, the word does it. Or the demons flee, and I've stood over a man who was given the last rites, and I spoke the word of God with anointing and came back alive. In other words, but what did it? The word was the greatest work. So he said, just believe me for all of this teaching that you've heard. No man has ever taught like Jesus. Does everybody understand that of all the talents you can have, you can sing and you can play and you can draw and you can dance and you can have your pictures and you can have everything else. But the greatest work that Jesus did is the word of God. Keep that in mind, because this is going to help you to know what to do with your life.
Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father.
Okay. Now, the reason that we can do the same thing as Jesus is because he went to the Father. And I'm going to explain that. But first of all, let me just get something clear. The greatest work he did was to give us the word. Do you understand?
Yes.
See, I don't sit here and teach all the healing. Oh, he healed the leper, he healed that. When it comes up in the Bible, we do. But what we concentrate on the words of his lips, because the word is God. Now, in the natural, in Jesus' time, there was no amplification. He used to take a ship and take it off from shore to make kind of natural amplification. But now we have a satellite in the sky, and with one push of the button, I can teach this word, and it can go all around the world. You understand? So now that is a natural work. But what's he talking about? You can do greater works than I. Is he talking about healing, casting out demons, raising the dead? That's secondary. He's talking about what's the greatest work he did?
Word.
The word. Okay. Here's why you can do and greater. He's going to the Father. Well, what happened when Jesus went to the Father? Romans 8, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, right in there. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen, who sits at the right hand of the throne of God, ever living to make intercession for you. Now, we have a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, Jesus. And so, when I pray and I say, help me to understand Manchin, help me to get the resting place so they can get it. And I ask him, and he prays for me and answers my prayer. Do you understand?
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful? So we have an intercessor. But what else happened to Jesus when he went back? He sent his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who will guide us into all truth. And we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit in a few minutes. The Holy Spirit of Jesus equips you to do the greater work, which is to declare the Word of God. And when the Holy Spirit anoints the Word of God that you share, then automatically fall healings, casting out demons, and raising the dead, and all kinds of miracles. You understand?
Yeah.
So the two things why he went back. He is now praying for us. I asked him about this, and he just kept flashing things. It's been beautiful. I had such an experience with him, so I could make it true to you. And then he has the Holy Spirit. See, right now, you think I'm talking to you. The Holy Spirit is just powerful, like a waterfall in me. Hallelujah. Okay, let's see what else we've got here now.
Verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do.
Oh, you say, oh, I can ask for Rolls Royce, I can ask for a new job, No. He's equipping these men to go out and preach the gospel and start the church of Jesus Christ. He's equipping you to do the greatest work, which is to get the word out, whether it be to one person or the world. In my case, the whole world in America, and to you, Scott, also. So, when he says, if you ask anything, do you understand? Do you need wisdom? And so he has never failed me. Every time you hear me speak on Wednesday, Sunday, on the radio, anywhere in person, I have already sat before God and I said, I've studied Hebrew, Chaldean, Greek. I've studied the notes. I've memorized. I've prayed. I've got a lot of stuff. I fasted. But at the end, I say, make it come alive to me. Tell me your secret here. He has never, ever failed. If you ask in my name, I will give it you. It what? The wisdom and the anointing and understanding to do the greater work, which is the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Father may be glorified in the Son.
And the Father's glorified because who is the Son? The Word, all right. So the Father is glorified in the Word. The Father is very happy when we say, Father, would you teach me about the resting place so I can teach them? And Jesus says, let's give her that, what she's going to do. The Father says, oh, I'm glorified in my Word because the Son is the Word. Remember, Jesus was not flesh at first. He's Spirit. He was the Word. In the beginning was the Word.
14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Again, anything that you don't understand to do the greater work, the wisdom of God. Now, I know people take this on other levels, and if you need something, if I need something for the ministry, I do ask for that. But even the greater petition is to ask for the lips of knowledge, the tongue of the learned, the word of wisdom, to get this word in truth from the heart of our God to you, God's children.
15, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Now it looks like Jesus changed the subject, but in Psalm 119, there are so many uses of the word commandment, and it always means word. So what's he telling them, keep my commandments if you love me? Jesus knew the temptation to start giving your own sermon. See, we do not need a man's sermon. We do not need one verse and 3 points. I know I went to seminary too. Keep my word. Keep my word. Teach my word. Keep means you cultivate and you guard it and you cause it to blossom. In other words, don't go off and teach somebody's book. Don't teach what you got some prophet there on Facebook to say. The Word of God. That's the greatest work. And that's what's wrong with our church today. Let's reform the church and get back to the Word. But it must be the Word eaten and digested. So then it comes out your pores and covers you, and the devil can't find you. You're in the hidden place then, the hidden one.
16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter.
Oh, now here comes the second reason we can do the greater work. Here comes the Holy Spirit.
That he may abide with you forever.
Abide is the same word in Greek as mansion, as dwelleth and abode in Psalm 91, mone, rest. Now when you receive Jesus and your sins were forgiven, the Holy Spirit came alongside of you. Now, some of you can get more of him. What he does, the Greek word is paraclete. It means he comes alongside of you. So see, most of you are carrying the load yourself, and you don't realize that you've got the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is Jesus and God. And remember, Father and Son are one. So the Holy Spirit is God. Now, he not only comes alongside of you, he goes before you and watches out for you and warns you if there are rocks in the road. He covers your back so the fiery darts don't get you. And he covers your head with the helmet of salvation. And then he comes inside of you, and out of your belly flows rivers of living water, the anointing of Holy Spirit. And then that water can come up, that Holy Spirit. You lay hands on the sick and they recover. Or you say the word of God and people get saved and healed and delivered. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In other words, there he is, and he's in you. He's beside you. He's upon you. And remember, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. Jesus is the Son. Jesus is the Word. So once again, you're hidden. Hallelujah. The devil can't see you. See, some of the reason the devil gets you because you took off the Holy Spirit. Uh-oh. I stopped preaching and going meddling.
17. Even the Spirit of Truth.
The Spirit of Truth. Okay, what was verse 6? I told you to memorize it. I am the way, the truth. Who was talking then? Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. Who is the Spirit of Truth? Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is Jesus. Okay. So now all of you know that now all you do, I don't mean if you intellectually just read the Bible and recite it like a parrot and then put it on the shelf and go on and direct your own life. But if you eat the little book and it becomes a part of your thinking and all, it will cover you. It covers you. He covers you with his feathers. He's the Word. And he hides you in the secret place of the Most High. He hides you secretly in his pavilion. The house is the Word, and the mansion, the resting place, is the Word of God inside of you, which permeates through your skin and covers you and is a shield and protects you from all the fiery darts of the enemy.
Amen.
Oh man, we go to everybody, every organization, help me with this, help me with that. All the while, you have, there's a mansion, there's a room, there's a verse in there, there's a chapter that will take care of your situation.
Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him.
The most beautiful thing anyone can ever experience is his left hand under your head, his right hand embrace you. When the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, touches you, it is pure ecstasy. Kings in palaces would give all of their gold to buy it. No. It's costly, the price of Jesus Christ. He was going out there to be crucified. But it's the most precious ecstasy you will ever have. And it's available for you as a son and daughter of God. And he comes and lives with you. And he's right beside you. And if you would acknowledge him in all of your ways by the word and praise, you will feel him all the time. Loving you.
But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
In you, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, when you go out to dinner with some people who don't love Jesus, what do you do? Holy Spirit, go to your room here. You're not welcome here. Uh-oh. Paul said, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. When you go and look at something on television or whatever that you don't need to see, Holy Spirit, go to your room now. He's in you. You grieve him. It hurts his feeling. Do you know he wants to be in everything? I have experiences. When I eat, Scott and Angela give me some beautiful fruit and food and things that I just look at it. I worship it. Oh, this pecan, Father, is shaped like a heart. And look, you've got these little ridges. What a beautiful work of art. And I said, you made ridges in it. You know what he said? Ruffles have ridges. He was participating with me. See, this is an intimate relationship. And he sups with you. You ever eat with somebody, they don't talk to you? No, you have a conversation. Has a great sense of humor. I'm so in love with him. He's my best friend.
18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you.
Okay, now Jesus tells you, I'm the Holy Spirit. See, he didn't say he said, I'll come to you. So Jesus leaves his flesh body and comes back to us. The presence of the Spirit of Truth is in this place, is on the airways as this goes out into cyberspace. This is the presence of Jesus. I will come to you. Do you know he'll never leave you and never forsake you?
19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also.
I'm going now to pay your sin debt, says Jesus, on the cross. And because you believe, you will have everlasting life. And we shall all mansion in Father's house forever. Rest, enjoy. A secret place where nobody can hurt us again.
20. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you.
What day is that? The day of the Lord, the seventh trump, the dawning of a new day. When Jesus returns, we all do the body change. 1 Corinthians 15:52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, we all step out of our flesh bodies, those of us who are alive here, and into our spiritual bodies. But only the overcomers will be able to gather to Jesus for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then he's the Word, he's in the Father, he's in us, and we're in him. And we're in the secret place, because the secret place of God is the heart of God. And the love letter that he sent you, the Word of God, is the heart. You want to know God? He shows himself. He reveals himself to us in his Word. His Word is his heart. And that's the secret place.
21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me.
Don't tell me you love Jesus and don't love the Word.
And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him.
Okay. Now see, everybody thinks, oh, that means we're going to see the physical presence of Jesus. Now I can tell you that occasionally he does put himself in that dimension, and he does do that. And I believe I've had experiences. I won't verify it, but I've had interesting experiences. But who is Jesus? He's the Spirit, right? So every time, right now, Spirit of God, breathe on everybody on airwaves, radio, internet, right here in this room, each one of you, Spirit of Holy Spirit, breathe on these people. Touch them, your left hand under their head, your right hand embrace them. If you feel him, that is the manifest presence of Jesus Christ. He is the Holy Spirit. He is here. He has manifest his presence tonight. He manifest his presence in the singing, it was anointed. In the praying, it was anointed. And in the teaching, it was anointed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for your presence in Jesus' mighty name. Glory, hallelujah. Well, we're going to continue this to help you learn how to rest. But right now, it's time for Mystery Moment questions to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to welcome the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, Scott Merson, my twin friend, man of God. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing good, Miss Sherry. How are you doing?
Just great, thanks.
Oh, that was just a great, great word tonight. I mean, that was just awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. God's word is awesome, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's awesome.
It blessed you, didn't it?
It does. It blesses you and touches you and changes you.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, our first question. Are some people easier to pray for than other people?
Absolutely. Some people, they mean well, but they have a wall about them. When I pray, I know you think that it's Sherry praying, but real praying, any illicit Christian, the only praying that's real praying is when the Holy Spirit prays through you. It'll sound like your words. So I always let the Holy Spirit do all of my praying. That's why God answers my prayers. But there are people, and I love them, they don't mean it, but they have such a wall about them that the Holy Spirit who's praying through me, he's a gentleman, and it grieves him, and he won't go into them unless they open their hearts to let him in. So that is harder. That's much harder. Now, there are people that you pray for, and I mean, they're just so open. I've prayed for people on the bench, and I didn't even get Father in Jesus' name, and man, they were just wild and crazy. God already touched them. They passed out on the piano there. That wasn't bad. That was good, okay, in the spirit. So, yes, some people are more receptive than others. But I pray for all people. I love all people. So anybody needs prayer, you call me, okay?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Okay, our next question. You often sing as you lay hands on people in prayer, and it's beautiful. And what prompts that?
Okay, Paul says, I will pray with the Spirit, I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, I will sing with the understanding. We're studying the book of Psalms on Wednesday night, and they're often entitled to the chief musician. Jesus is a musician. Now, music is praying twice. The Holy Spirit just chooses to start singing. I have nothing to do with it. See, all of you think Sherry's praying. I wait. If you will notice, everybody that comes to my bench, I wait just a moment, and I let the Holy Spirit give me that nudge. And out it comes. Same thing with the singing. I don't know when he's going to do it. I don't know what note he's going to do. I'm a trained musician, but we don't practice, okay? In other words, and sometimes, Scott, I've had this. You were going through a demonic attack, great man of God that you are, and I remember one time I was praying, and he helped me hit, I must have hit high C up there, and it shivered the demonic forces, the powers and principalities of the air that were trying so hard to block you. is awesome. Just like, see, there's a frequency, there's a greater frequency. Sound produces movement. There's a greater frequency in singing there is in speaking. We know that in the natural. I was playing the piano and singing one time, and it must have been a good day for my voice, but something, glass doodad, shattered on the piano, if you get the right thing. So see, you can pray and shatter. Now, I've had Precious Laura, they had been under a little stress, and I started, the Holy Spirit started singing a lullaby to her. That's not silly. God knew that she just needed to be wrapped up in the cradle of God's arms. Remember that, Laura? Yes. And so, see, it's different for everybody. But singing, I do believe, it's just because Jesus is a musician, and I don't know when he's going to do it, but it's wonderful.
Yeah, it just cuts right down to the soul. It just goes right into our spirit, the singing.
It does, doesn't it? It just shatters everything. Yeah, it does. Well, you know, Scott, David put his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in a bag. What is Scott's stuff?
I have a word for what we're walking into. As the dispensations of the fullness of times are gathered together in one, the Lord in his sovereignty is aligning us to move in a way we have never moved before. He is positioning us like he has never positioned us before. He will intervene in the earthly realm in a way that we have never before experienced.
That is so glorious. We got to get these recorded and offer them to people. That is, thank you very much, Scott Mercer.
Thank
that
you,
is
Mary.
Beautiful. For those of you who are not saved, please pray this prayer with me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess my sin.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them away with Jesus' blood.
Wash them away with Jesus' blood.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Teach me your truth.
Teach me your truth.
Use me to bring many children,
back home to Father's house.
In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In a few minutes, my announcer will give you my telephone number. My phone works now, so please call and leave a message. Let me pray for those of you who are sick. Precious Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, we just call forth healing in the bronchial area. There's so much congestion. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' name, Son of Righteous, arise into the throat and the chest and the lungs and the sinus cavities and disintegrate the congestion in Jesus' mighty name. Holy Ruach, breathe through there. Fresh air, breathe in, breathe out. Let the lungs breathe, the breath of God coming through there in the name and the power of Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, be healed. Now, you can also call and tell me that you were healed. Excuse me. Well, now it's time for your love line of the week. From my heart to your heart. Excuse me. Abu Ben Adam, may his tribe increase, awoke one night from a deep dream of peace and saw within the moonlight of his room, making it rich like a lily in bloom, an angel writing in a book of gold. Now exceeding peace had made Ben Adam bold, and to the presence in the room he said, "What writest thou?" The vision raised its head, and with a look made of all sweet accord answered, "The names of those who love the Lord." "And is mine one?" said Abu. "Nay, not so," replied the angel. "I pray thee then," said Abu, "write me as one who loves his fellow men." The angel vanished, but came again the next night with a great awakening light and read names of those whom love of God had blessed, and lo, Ben Adam's name led all the rest. Jesus says, By this men will know you are my disciples, that you love one another. Come to my school Sundays 5 p.m., prayer warriors 6:30 Wednesday. And remember this about Jesus Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. I think you got it now. His word, thy word is truth, he says in John 17:17. You learned something tonight. We're going to learn some more about that next time. Now remember, this is yours to share, and that's the greater work. Wait for my announcer now. And this is Sherry Medlock. God bless you, and God keep you, and make his face to shine upon you. In Jesus' truth, with love.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Turn the page, for a new day has dawned, and we've rearranged what is right and what's wrong. Somehow we've drifted so far from the truth that we can't get back home. And where are the virtues that once gave us light? And where are the morals that governed our lives? Someday we all will awake and look back just to find what we've lost. We need to get back to the basics of a life, a heart that is pure and a love that is blind, a faith that fervently grounded in Christ, the hope that endures for all time. These are the basics. We need to get back to the basics of life. Oh, the newest rage is the reason it out. Just meditate and you can overcome every doubt. After all, man is a god. They say God is no longer alive, but I still believe
in the old rugged cross.
Whoa, I still believe
there is hope for the lost,
and I know the rock of all ages will stand through the changes of time, through the changes of time. We need to get back to the basics of life, a heart that is pure and the love that is blind, a faith that is fervently grounded in Christ, the hope that we got newness of life, a heart that is pure, and a love that is
of your mercy in my hand. The only one who loves me as I am.
became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing.
Listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
Found out. waves of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Your kindness yet pursues me, how your mercy never fails me, till the day that death shall lose me, I will sing, oh, I will sing. To be, let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and see.